Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service, Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we are in the second Sunday of Advent. Today we're going to talk about peace, and we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thanks. Good morning and welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm Unity's mission and foundation statements. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now our daily word for today, Sunday, December the 6th. The key word is peace, and the affirmation is, peace flows through me and blesses the world. The light of God shines within all people. I pause to remember this truth as I consider the world and my relationship to it. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." John 14:27. The same divine light that lived in Jesus is shining brightly in me. My peace is a gift I choose to give to the world. I bless the world by affirming the kingdom of God is among us here and now. It is through this Christ-centered awareness that I project a consciousness of peace. I live, move, and have my being in the light, love, and peace of God. I expand my awareness of divine ideas through prayer and meditation, and I do my part to uplift the consciousness of the entire planet. I am walking in the light of God, and I am at peace. And the scripture is Revelation 21:24. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Amen. And now we'll have our message with Reverend Butch.
Well, actually, we're going to read our Advent reading first.
Okay.
And actually, you know, these are the Advent candles. Okay, you can see that two of them are lit. First one we did last week, which was for faith, and the second one we lit this week for peace. And we're going to do our Advent reading. So you want to start, hon?
Okay. The second candle represents peace and is symbolized by an angel. An angel is a messenger from God, and so are all Christ-like thoughts. Those are the thoughts which guide us and lead us to an awareness of the Christ, just as the shepherds were led to Jesus from the angel's words.
And the angel's message to the shepherds was, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all people." This angel guided them to the Christ, and when we respond to our Christ thoughts, we are at peace and are able to experience peace and goodwill in all circumstances in our lives. We are able to experience the Christ.
And now we will have the message with Reverend Butch.
All right, so we started the second part of the Advent journey, and this one is on peace. So, you know, through the four, we're going to go through with faith, peace, love, and joy. And I'm going to start this with a message from, let me just say this. I'm going to start this with something that's going to set the stage for this lesson. That's what I was trying to get at. And the scripture for this is from Hebrews 12. 11. And it actually comes from the Advent booklet. And it says, again, this is Hebrews 12:11, and it says, now discipline always seems painful. Right, let me just bring that over so you can see it as well. Discipline always seems painful rather than pleasant at the time. And we know we talk a lot about discipline. But later, it yields a peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about this whole idea of training and getting ready for trying to understand how to function totally from this idea of always being open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth flowing through us. All right. So I want you to keep that affirmation in mind as we go through this, or that scripture in mind as we go through this lesson, because it's going to help you to understand what we're trying to get to today. Now, you know, think about it. God is a good God, right? And we're safe and saved when we remember we are in God's care. Let me say that again. God is a good God, and we are safe and saved when we remember we are in God's care. And that's the mindset that leads to living in peace, you know, especially when your foundation is faith, all right? If you can keep that idea in mind. And to explain further, this idea of God as in God's care, and I always like to explain this when I use the idea of God, because I don't want us to get caught up in an anthropomorphic being. But when we talk about God in terms of God's care, this is a divine idea. God's care is a divine idea in our consciousness that when dwelled upon causes us to become magnified with praise. Okay? A divine idea in our consciousness that when dwelled upon causes us to become magnified with praise. Now, the purpose of praise being to awaken us to a higher realization of our power, of the power and presence of God in every aspect in our lives. As in the affirmation, God is in charge of my life and affairs. And that's an affirmation you should really keep with you all the time. You can expand on it a little bit by saying, God is in charge of my body, mind, life, and affairs. All right. Now, in addition, keeping our minds focused on God enhances us with, you know, spiritual splendor. Keeping our mind focused on God enhances us with spiritual splendor. Spiritual splendor is a magnification of the reality of God being active in our life and affairs. So when you have this spiritual splendor, you just know at every moment, no matter what's going on, that, you know, you have this idea in your mind, you feel magnified, you feel just filled with the idea that God is active in your life and affairs. And as it's written in Isaiah 26:3, you will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's sort of like that's a nice affirmation. I am in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on God. I am in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on God. You know, say that with me. I am in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on God. Okay? And God is a divine idea in our consciousness that when dwelled upon causes us to be magnified and praised and enhanced with spiritual splendor. Okay? So when you think about God, think about God as this divine idea in your consciousness that's always looking to be enhanced, okay, to be magnified. And it becomes magnified when you turn all your attention to that divine idea within you. Okay, so it's written in Philippians 4:4-7. And let me just switch to this. It says, "Rejoice to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now listen to this. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone. The Lord is near. So do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and gratitude." Prayer and gratitude with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now, just a quick explanation of the difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. Okay. Gratitude, or being grateful, is an action. Okay. Gratitude or being grateful is an action, whereas thanksgiving is a feeling. So prayer is the act of expressing gratitude to God for all the good that God has brought into your life. Okay, again, prayer is the act of expressing gratitude to God for all that God is in your life. And thanksgiving is the feeling of being thankful for all that God is in your life. Okay, so in essence, gratitude is a thought, and thanksgiving is an emotion. As we studied in last week's lesson, when thought and emotion become one, you are filled with wholeness and light and a sense of peaceful well-being. And so we read from the Gospel of Thomas last week. Actually, if you have the Gospel of Thomas, it's chapter 24. It said that Jesus said, when you make the two into one, then you will enter into the kingdom of heaven, the place and consciousness where you experience perfect harmony and peace. Okay, so again, if you think to yourself, what does it mean to enter into the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is a place in your consciousness where you experience perfect harmony and peace. So this whole spiritual process is about keeping your focus on that which is divine. The whole spiritual process is about keeping your focus on that which is divine. Now to repeat, you will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, a past daily word expanded on this thought from Jesus by, you know, asking, is your mind stayed on God or is it starved? Starvation of the mind caused by not remaining focused on God is one of the chief causes of fear, frustration, and lack of peace in your life, in the life of a true student. So if your mind is not always focused on God, you must begin to do it now. It is written in Isaiah 45, 22, turn to me to be saved. Okay, turn to me to be saved. Again, let's affirm that together. In all of my life circumstances, I turn to Christ and I am saved. Okay, so as you can see, there's a lot of mental dynamics that are part of this process. And I don't want to say a mind game, but it's a mind exercise, because we are typically exercising our mind with a lot of the dynamics that are happening in our lives. And so now we're trying to correct that, and that is making a correction by keeping our minds focused on that which has to do with spirit, the kingdom of heaven consciousness, the place within you where you have perfect peace and harmony. Okay. Now, we've heard it said that our mind is the greatest gift that God has given to us, and it ought to be devoted entirely to God. Now, see, those kind of statements I know are challenging because there's so much going on in our lives that you say, well, how can I spend time, you know, devoting my mind totally to God when I got all this other stuff I have to think about, okay? But what it's saying is our mind should be devoted entirely to the divine idea in our consciousness that when dwelled upon causes us to be magnified with praise. Okay, so yes, we have a lot of things in our lives that are challenging us, but by turning constantly to that inner spirit, that inner dynamic, that kingdom of heaven consciousness within, you are causing yourself to become magnified with praise. Okay, magnified with praise, meaning that in your spirit, instead of you feeling the emotional dynamics of what is happening outside of you, you're feeling the peace and calm of spirit within you, all right? And as it's written in 2 Corinthians 10:5, you should seek to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God, obedience of Christ. And this will be the greatest application of your faith in times of trial and tribulation, okay? Because your faith and the Spirit of God will work together to bring you peace, all right? So when you keep your mind focused on spirit, okay, in times of trial and tribulation, but you should be doing it really all the time, okay, your faith will have, what will happen is your faith will combine with the Spirit of God within you, and that will work together to bring you peace, all right? Now, that daily word reading we were reading, it continues with, when you find life's challenges coming down on you, prod your memory and wake up immediately. Now, here we go again with waking up. Okay, this idea, and I said to you before, there's so many things we read that talk about this idea of waking up. So when you find life's challenges coming down on you, prod your memory and wake up immediately. Remember whose you are and whom you serve. Encourage yourself to remember your connection with all that is holy, and your affection for God will increase tenfold. Your mind will no longer be starved, but will be quick, keen, warm, glowing, peaceful, and your hope will be inexpressibly bright. Okay, so hopefully that, you know, helps you to understand why this exercise is so important, to keep our minds stayed on spirit. And it's possible, yes, you can do it, but it is a constant process of working on that. Thanks, son, for letting me know. Okay. But as wonderful as all this may sound, it may be possible that we still think of spiritual wisdom, like we just read, as abstract ideas, meaning spiritual ideas that are not yet a real part of the thinking we use in our everyday lives. And that's our biggest challenge. You know, for many, it is the, you know, the challenges could be the coronavirus that is real. It could be systematic racism that is real. It could be the loss of our previous way of life that is real. It could be isolation and loneliness that is real. It could be longing to be with others and, you know, share a hug that is real. And I agree, these experiences are very real to all of us. So when we hear true statements like we just read, like your mind is the greatest gift, you know, that God has given you, and it ought to be devoted entirely to God, the question is the application of those statements in your everyday life enough to bring you peace, especially during these very troubling times? Well, we might be thinking, yes, for some things, you know. There are some things in my life that I can apply these principles to, and it works for me, you know. I can find peace in some troubling times. But there could be some other conditions that were caused by COVID-19 as it relates to the disruption of our lives. We might be thinking, you know, not really. You know, not really can I apply these spiritual ideas to everything that, you know, is happening right now with, you know, that's caused my life to be, you know, in an upheaval, to be different from what it really was. And that's understandable, okay? We might be craving practical help in those situations rather than spiritual help. You get what I'm saying? Is that, you know, so we in learning these spiritual principles, we do realize that we can apply them in some areas, but other areas we just might be challenged and just don't really know. We need something that's more practical, more, you know, with the flesh and bone on it, so to speak. And this is completely understandable. Now, earlier we were asked the question, is your mind stayed on God or is it starved? And it was explained that starvation of the mind caused by not remaining focused on God is one of the chief causes of fear and frustration and the lack of peace in the life of a true student. Okay? But let's be realistic. The world is in so much turmoil right now. The question is, can you keep your mind stayed on God? Or maybe more to the point, do you want to keep your mind stayed on God? All right? Or are we mesmerized by the chaos that's happening in the world? All right. Now, when I be mesmerized by it, but there's so much stuff going on that you just can't get your mind to quiet down and to focus on this inner dynamic that we're talking about. And again, this may sound like, you know, the question, are we so mesmerized by chaos happening in the world that we cannot take time to be prayerful and peaceful? It may sound like a ridiculous question. You know, who would, you know, prefer chaos? You know, no matter how mesmerizing it is, who would prefer chaos over the peace of God? But if you take a moment and do a personal emotional inventory, ask what is going on within you right now. Is it thoughts of Christ or thoughts of chaos? And remember, our mantra, as you're doing this, our mantra is what it, so you could say it with me, self-observation without condemnation. So as you are doing this emotional inventory and trying to figure out where am I right now in this process, you know, am I spirit focused or am I crisis focused? You know, it's not about beating yourself up. You always want to just kind of get a sense of where you are emotionally right now. What are you emotionally attached to right now? And once you have determined what you are mentally and emotionally attached to, then rethink the statement that we read a moment ago from 2 Corinthians 10:5. You should seek to be bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of your indwelling Christ. Why? Because this will be your greatest mental emotional asset for helping you to maintain your faith in these challenging times. Right? And how this works is that your faith and the Spirit of God within you, will work together to bring you peace. Okay? Your faith and the Spirit of God within you will work together to bring you peace. So it's almost not like, you know, you're going to make yourself peaceful. It's that you're surrendering to divine inner process within you that is peaceful, and it will work. You know, your faith in it and the Spirit of God will work together to bring you to a state of peace. And I hope that makes sense. So it's more than, you know, it's almost like not I, but the Father within me is doing it, that idea. Okay. So to keep our minds stayed on God seems to be a huge undertaking. But think about how our everyday lives are intrinsically entwined in our material technology. So much so that we couldn't possibly imagine living life within it, without it. Okay? So our spiritual quest is to reach a state of consciousness in which our spiritual technology becomes more important than our material technology. Now, you know, Albert Einstein, you heard me say this before, he expressed it this way. He said, it has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity. I look forward to the day when our humanity exceeds our technology. Now, granted, that could be an outdated statement, right? And I say that because especially when we look at the heroic efforts of our healthcare workers, for example, as they work beyond their physical, emotional limits to try to keep up with the devastation caused by the coronavirus. Now, in that case, you would look and you say, these people, their humanity is far outreached, you know, technology. However, now let's look at this. The scientific medical community is a great example of how humanity has mastered technology for the benefit of all of humanity. Right? And we're seeing it now. Everybody's excited about the vaccine that's been created. And I heard Dr. Fauci or somebody the other day say that it normally takes 10 years to, you know, really master a vaccine. And they've done it in, like, what, 10 months. Okay. So that's an interesting thing where, you know, we've mastered technology for the benefit of all humanity. And that's a good thing. Okay. Humanity's mastering of technology brings hope to the trials and tribulations of the human experience, which again is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. But what could work even greater is the level of faith required to instill faith regardless of the trials and tribulations of the human experience. Okay? So as great as technology is, what I'm getting at is that what we have within us through what can be activated through the power of faith is even greater than technology, okay? The outer technology. All right? And you know, what could use some work is the level of faith required to instill peace regardless of the trials and tribulations of the human experience. As I just shared, the hope we place in technology is a good thing, a wonderful thing. But it pales in comparison to the lasting peace we would experience from placing our faith in God. And as we studied in last week's lesson, true faith elevates us to the kingdom of heaven consciousness. Okay, and I always like, you notice how I explain those ideas so that I can keep it real for us. So faith, true faith, elevates us to the kingdom of heaven consciousness, which is the place where divine ideas are transmuted into miracles in our lives. So the miracles we ask for, as we ask, they are created in that kingdom of heaven consciousness. Remember I was saying last week, it is hard for us to tap into it in our personal consciousness. But once we allow ourselves to be transformed into the kingdom of heaven consciousness, we tap right into that place where we touch divine ideas and then transmute those divine ideas into our lives, into miracles in our lives. Okay, and as you hear me talking about this, I don't want you saying, well, geez, how do I really do that? Okay, you know, how do I transmute divine ideas into miracles in my life? You do it through constantly keeping your mind focused on spirit. Okay, the spiritual quest for keeping our mind stayed on God is not about ignoring what is happening in the world, but it is about understanding the importance of putting first things first. Okay, God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. God is first in my life and is revealing to me the orderly process of my life. That's one of my affirmations that I use all the time. But this idea of putting first things first is what we know, we're familiar with, Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So we're taking these Bible verses that we are so familiar with and digging deeper into them to understand how they really work in our everyday lives. So while we enjoy the material technology that makes our life so much easier, our real work is to connect our minds with the source of all the good we enjoy, and to not lose sight of the truth that God is the true source of our supply. Okay? Now, we're masters at living our lives through our oneness with our material technology. Okay? The question for us is, how do we elevate our consciousness, become masters of living our lives perpetually from our oneness with God? And again, God being the divine idea in our consciousness, or the realm of divine ideas in our consciousness, that when dwelled upon, causes us to be magnified with praise and spiritual splendor. Okay? And that translates into tapping into the realm of divine ideas, the kingdom of heaven, and transmuting those ideas into the miracles that we need in our lives. All right. So this is a matter of focusing more of our attention on our internal technology, right? And we're very clear about what our external technology is, but we're not so clear about our internal technology. Now, the definition of technology is the application of science, and we typically do not see the application of spiritual practices as being a science. However, in an article that I read on the internet, it explained that the metaphysics of technology is that it is an openness to being. The metaphysics of technology is it's being open to being. Being, right? Being, capital B, being God. The mind that is the universe, that is composed of divine ideas such as love and life and wisdom and truth and power, and what we all crave right now, which is peace. So how do we relate to the fact that the attitudes of spirit, the attributes of spirit, the attributes of God, the attributes of being, are also a technology as well? More specifically, that the attributes of spirit, such as faith, peace, love, and joy, are very much a technology. Okay. Now, admittedly, this is probably harder for us to grasp, but it's important. It is essential to our spiritual evolution that we strive to grasp the reality that the spiritual concepts we study are a technology, as well a technology based on the laws of being. Now, I think we all have experience that technology serves us when we apply ourselves to learning it, okay, and understanding how to use it in our lives. And I know sometimes technology can be frustrating, you know, but when it's working right, when it's working well, you know, we know how great it is for us. You know, we love it, but there are times when it frustrates us. Like, we just got this TV that, you know, I couldn't get it. It's supposed to be, everybody says it's the clearest TV that I've ever seen. But when I hooked it up, the picture was terrible. And I have this real eye for sharpness and clarity and color and whatnot. And, you know, I messed with it for several days until finally I figured out where the problem was. And once I fixed it, boom, there it was, okay, in all of its glory. And I know we've all had experiences like that with one thing or another, okay. But I believe that we have also experienced how, you know, frustrating it is. But, you know, we know how, how frustrating it is, we couldn't do without it. Okay, we couldn't do without it. However, most of us do take the time to learn how to use the technology that we need to make our lives easier and less frustrating. Okay, whatever it might be, you'll take the time to figure it out. We will turn to our technology, relying on it to do what it is designed to do. We'll turn to our computer, our refrigerator, our washer and dryer, our microwave oven, our TV, you know, knowing that whatever it is will fulfill the need we have from it, okay? Now, we do not stand in front of any of these devices begging, hoping, wondering if they will fulfill our purpose, all right? We just know, and when we hit that button, boom, it comes on, it does its thing, all right? We have a deep, intimate, committed relationship with our outer technology in our lives, with a high level of trust that the things we expect it to do, it will do. But what about our spiritual technology? Do we even believe that we have an internal spiritual technology? What is interesting to note about this question is that we must come to understand that we could not have an external technology if we did not have an internal spiritual technology. Remember the definition for the metaphysics of technology. It is an openness to being, an openness to God, God being the virtual realm of divine ideas that when we learn how to tap into it through our faith, we can take those divine ideas and transmute them into the miracles, transmute them into the things that we were asking for in prayer, the things that we need in our lives, okay? So it's the internal spiritual technology Jesus was referring to when he taught us to pray. Now listen, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, external technology, as it is in heaven, internal technology. You get it? So it's by way of the internal technology of faith that creative, inventive people brought about the outer technology that we enjoy today. Okay, let's look at this for a minute. It says, you know, that the question for each of us to ask ourselves is on a daily basis, moment by moment, am I practicing using my internal technology? As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether or not you are living in faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. All right. So, you know, if we fail the test of faith, it follows that we would have no peace. It is our spiritual duty to practice these ideas continuously in all matters in our lives. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned and received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Okay. And so that's the idea. You've got to put it into practice. And as you're putting into practice, even when you do not even have it perfect yet, it doesn't matter, okay? Because the God of peace will still be with you as you are working to, you know, become more efficient at keeping your mind focused on spirit. And I want to end with this quote from Bernie Siegel. It says, love and peace of mind do protect us. Love and peace of mind do protect us. They allow us to overcome the problems that life hands us. They teach us to survive, to live now, to have the courage, and to confront each day. And that's what we want. We want the courage to have and the faith to confront each day. And so it is. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So now we invite you to relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy this peaceful pause in this moment as you allow spirit to restore your natural balance. Take another deep breath and begin to relax. As you are breathing in and out, you become aware of any tension leaving your body. From the top of your head to your toes, you release and let go. You are now immersed in the comfort of God's love. You feel this love removing any anxiety and worried thoughts and feelings. There is great comfort in knowing that God is with you at all times and in all circumstances. From that thought alone, you feel your spirit lifted, you feel safe, and you feel peaceful. Notice as you breathe, your mind is still and at peace. You are calm and at ease. Spirit is flowing through you now, and you can feel security and tranquility washing over you. Serenity wells up from your innermost self. Peace floods your mind and body. You are one with God. You are one in the midst of peace, of love, faith, strength, and wisdom. Breathe deeply now and notice that with each heartbeat, you become aware of the peaceful presence that is within you now and always. You are never alone. Peace and love and truth are but a breath away. In these next few moments, with the peaceful and positive feeling that you have, take these feelings now into the silence where you can feel that peaceful expansion of consciousness enhancing your well-being. We make our way to the door of the secret place of the Most High. And before we may enter, we must release and let go. If there is mental and emotional baggage that you are carrying around and that is not serving you, release it now. Just let it go. If there is material baggage, let that go also. So step through the door and take a seat. And as you do, you feel that light, love, and life of the Christ flowing over you, around you, through you, and out into your world to bless others. So now use these moments to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and answered them as you always do. Once again, breathe deeply and exhale fully, and allow your eyes to open if you feel ready to do so. Bring your awareness back to your surroundings and give thanks for the many blessings that you receive on a daily basis. We are thankful in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen.
That was wonderful. Thank you. So right now we're going to do, as we usually do, open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our lives to flow into our spiritual home. And as always, I always, it's from my heart, our heart, out to your hearts. We're so thankful for all the wonderful gifts that have been coming in to keep Unity Center of Light moving forward. So with that in mind, let's do our offering breath blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings. As they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. And so it is. Amen. Amen. And you're going to do light notes?
Yes,
now?
Okay. We have light notes for today. On Sunday, December the 13th, which is next Sunday, we'll be having our remembrance service, which is called Lessons in Love. This service is not only about the loss of life, but also about the loss of the way things used to be, which many of us are experiencing, and the loss of the ways of being. We invite you to bring a candle to the service with you, and if you so wish, share with us during the Zoom session following the service. On December 24th, Christmas Eve, we will be holding our Christmas Eve candle lighting service at 7 p.m. Please bring your candle to that service also, and be prepared for a service with Christmas music by Megan McDonough and Christmas songs that we are all familiar with. Continue to join us for the Advent discussion group. This is a wonderful way to get a deeper understanding of Advent. Please check for the links in your e-newsletter and your updates. And that concludes our light notes for today.
All right. So we are going to bless the path.
Yes.
All right.
So let us each bless the path that we will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful.
All right. So we are at the end of our service, this part of the service. We continue with this in Zoom, where we have a chance to fellowship and share with each other. If you have not joined us in a Zoom session, we've had folks join just recently in the last couple of Sundays and say they don't know why they waited so long, because it's a fabulous time to, you know, get to see all of your other Unitics, your
Unitics.
Your Unity family, and to, you know, just share some love. And if you're having some things going on in your life that you just need some support with, this is a wonderful place to do it and hear some great music. Right. So we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. Otherwise, have a very wonderful and prosperous and peaceful day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.